Hello, I'm Jacob Kaufman with KUAR News. I'm joined by former researcher for the think tank, the Peterson Institute for International Economics, and former employee of the global investment bank, Jefferies, and 4th Congressional District hopeful, Tommy Moll. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Jacob. I'm delighted to be here this morning.
Most pundits and economists agree the economy is slowly but regularly growing. A study this month from the London School of Economics shows that since the 1960s, the richest 1,000th of a percent of U.S. households doubled their share of the national wealth from 10 to 20%. Is that increasing concentration of wealth to the few a problem or a sign of a healthy economy?
I'd put it to you this way, Jacob. In the 4th District of Arkansas, unemployment is a huge problem. It's a lot higher than it is in the rest of the state and nationally. In fact, it's over 8%, which translates into about 26,000 people who are looking for work and can't find it. Just to put that in more concrete terms, that's about three quarters of the population of my hometown, Hot Springs, who are looking for work and can't find it. That is a huge concern for me. And with a background in business and economics, I want to go to Washington and fight for policies that are going to help alleviate this problem that we're facing in the 4th District.
Okay, and could you elaborate on some of those policies you think will spur job development?
Well, number one, Jacob, we need to repeal Obamacare, which we're well aware at this point is causing a lot of problems in terms of our health care, but it's also a job killer, in particular in the 4th District, where it's a lot of small businesses, you know, folks who own their own business who are really hurting under this law. So number one. Number two, a couple key types of industries in the 4th District to keep in mind. First, I would point you to poultry, which is really important in darn near all of the 33 of 33 counties in the 4th District. Unfortunately, the policies coming out of Washington right now are making their jobs harder, not easier, because the federal government's policy is driving up the cost of the feed that folks who are raising chickens have to buy. And so it's threatening their business. It's making their jobs harder, not easier. So we need to get rid of that policy and let the free market thrive. Great example of that is in the poultry business in the 4th District.
And do you think the poultry business, obviously each corporation who engages in that is different, but it seems like a lot of them, particularly in Arkansas, are remarkably successful worldwide. Do they owe the growers any of the share of that increasing cost of feed?
Well, the way it's set up is, the growers have to buy their own feed. And if the market is, if there is a free market, that price is going to be a fair price. Unfortunately, we don't have a free market right now because the government, the federal government's policy drives up the cost of corn, which drives up the cost of feed that the growers are having to buy. And so the direction I would want to head is to just get the federal government out of this business to begin with, and we'll all be better off for it. I say all intentionally. It won't only be folks who have to buy the feed. It's going to be everyone who goes to the grocery store and buys chicken.
Many Arkansans notice an influx of out-of-state money in campaign ads, not directly coming from campaigns themselves. How would you address this growing discontent with campaign finance laws?
You know, for our campaign, we've been delighted by the outpouring of financial support. The majority of the funds that we've raised have come from right here in Arkansas. And so as far as we're concerned, that's the direction we're taking our campaign. I would say this to you, though, Jacob. There's a lot of attention placed on fundraising in politics, but what wins elections and what we're focused on is having a good message and spreading that message and having as large a group of volunteers as you can. And that's really the direction that we're focused. Having been in all 33 of 33 counties, we've been honored and delighted by the outpouring of support from folks we've met along the way. That's what's going to get us over the finish line on May 20th.
If you were to win not only the nomination but the general election, do you think Congress should take any action on campaign finance laws, though?
Well, gosh, there's a lot to be desired in terms of our current laws on campaign finance. I would scrap the set of rules we've got now and start over. I can tell you from personal experience, it's really, like almost anything the federal government gets involved with, very complex. And so there's a lot of room for improvement there. But look, I am focused on running this campaign in the 33 counties. When I go to Congress, I'm going to be focused first and foremost on doing what's right for the folks who live there. And the things they're concerned about, the things I'm concerned about, and what I will fight for are policies that get this country back on the right track, that make it easier, not harder, for our economy to grow, and repeal Obamacare.
The oil spill in Mayflower has some Arkansans reassessing their view of safety practices for that particular industry. That same pipeline runs through the entire 4th Congressional District, from Texarkana going northeast to central Arkansas. Would you pursue regulations moving pipelines away from sensitive areas like watersheds?
Jacob, we are all very concerned about what happened in Mayflower and never want to see that happen again. Let me tell you, the number one priority in terms of pipelines for me is approving the Keystone XL pipeline. Here's why. Right now, a lot of that crude is transported by rail instead of pipeline. So the federal government's policy as of today is forcing folks who are shipping crude oil to do so in one of the most dangerous ways possible, which is by rail. So if we're thinking about what are our top priorities in terms of the energy industry right now, it's got to be Keystone XL, which would be good for Arkansas jobs. It would result in a much safer environment than the one we've got now.
There are seemingly endless hot spots and trouble areas internationally. The U.S. wants to help in some shape or form or fashion. What are your thoughts in particular on the crisis in Ukraine? And when do you think using force abroad is a sound strategy?
What's going on in Ukraine right now is unfortunate, and it is in part a result of our president's failure of leadership. This goes back to Syria, the crisis where President Obama drew a red line. That red line was crossed. There was no consequence. It goes back to the very beginning of Obama's administration when he determined we needed a so-called reset with Russia, as if they were going to be our partners and not engage in the kind of things they're doing right now over in Crimea. And so you go back over the whole course of Obama's time in office, and he's projected a sense of weakness about what America is willing to stand up and do in the international arena. That is provocative, and we're seeing the result of that now with Putin's bad behavior over in the Crimea.
Well, I guess I've seen some similar parallels drawn to the actions of the Soviet Union when they oppressed numerous uprisings in the 50s and 60s. And those were presidents like Eisenhower. But you're suggesting that Obama's behavior in particular is unique historically in provoking these sort of reactions?
I'm saying that Obama does not speak in a clear manner around the world about the universal values that we're proud of here in the United States, those values related to constitutionally limited government and individual freedom. And the reality is the United States is the last great hope in the world for freedom. And if we don't have a leader who can get up and offer a defense of those values, both for what they have done for us here in America and what they can and have done for folks around the world, then we're going to see consequences of that. And the consequences are going to be bad actors are going to take more bad actions because there's no one standing up strong enough for what's right.
The Obama administration has continued his predecessor's use of drones in countries we're not at war with and don't have troops in. Some argue their use, while helpful in killing dangerous extremists, ends up causing more harm than good by creating more anti-U.S. sentiment. As a congressman, how would you want the drone program to be used?
Well, listen, the drone program, there are two sides of the coin. The first side is it can be an extremely effective tool in combating terrorism and Islamic extremism, which are still threats that we have to take very seriously. The other side of that is anytime there's power in the hands of big government, of the federal government, that can be abused. And so there absolutely have to be some checks on when and where this kind of technology can be deployed. But on net, it's absolutely been a positive for the security interests of the United States.
And what are your thoughts on the NSA's collection of at least some telephone and email data from nearly every American? Would you keep in place current domestic surveillance practices?
We need to improve significantly those practices. And I'll tell you what gives me great concern. What gives me great concern is when the federal government, as a rule, is tracking information about people's, not just certain people's, everyone's phone calls, text messages, and the like. That's wrong. No doubt when there's some cause for concern, when there's probable cause, of course, the federal government is going to use all technology available to it to figure out what the bad guys are up to. But what I disagree with is having as a matter, having the general rule being the federal government is just going to track all this information and then later decide do they want to use it or not. That gives me great concern.
Immigration legislation has largely stalled in Congress. What is your plan for addressing continued immigration as well as those currently here attending school or working?
I tell you, on the number one issue for me regarding immigration is we need to be able to control our own border. Our federal government is involved in so many things it shouldn't be involved in, but one of its core duties is being able to control our own national border. So, number one, that's my priority. Number two, and I can tell you this from experience campaigning around the 4th District, there are lots of different industries in the 4th District and in Arkansas that rely on folks coming from various parts of the world to come work here. That needs to be, it needs to be possible to do that on a legal basis. And we should absolutely focus on making sure that our legal immigration policy is streamlined and transparent. At the end of the day, we're a nation of immigrants. Everyone who's here has a family that came from somewhere else, but we need to make sure that our legal immigration policy is the way folks are going.
And there's widespread consensus that Congress is unable to act on what many perceive as even simple issues. Tell us a little bit about your leadership style. Are tactics like a government shutdown and filibustering without having to actually speak on something tactics you support?
Jacob, this gives me great concern, that what's going on in Washington these days. My leadership style is to have as broad a coalition as possible, no matter the issue, while being aware that on any given day, there will be folks you disagree with. The key is to be able to disagree and stand firm on your principles without being disagreeable, because the next day, you may need to partner with some of the folks that you disagree with today. So that's my leadership style, is looking to build as broad a coalition as possible. And I think we've done that in our race. And the way we're running our campaign is a way I would like to govern in Washington. And that's to bring folks from all over the district, from all walks of life, all different stripes of conservatives, bring them on the same team. That's what our campaign's about, and that's how I want to lead in Washington.
All right. And now I want to hit on the Affordable Care Act a little bit. You mentioned at the beginning of this interview, it's one of the central pillars of your economic policies going forward. In order to spur job growth, it must be repealed. With that in mind, do you have any type of replacement in mind? And specifically in Arkansas, we've talked a lot about the private option. And so with your replacement, would you be considering that private option population that's 100 to 140% of the poverty line?
There's no version of Obamacare that I support. I do not support the private option. I want to go to Washington and help repeal Obamacare at the federal level. I want to replace it with a healthcare policy that's based on people and their doctors making the best decisions that they can, not on politicians and bureaucrats getting involved in those, making those decisions about, for example, what kind of medicine to take or what kind of surgery you can have. I want a healthcare policy where people and their doctors get to make those decisions. And the way we get there is not by creating new rules, by giving bureaucrats more control over the healthcare system. I want, to the greatest extent possible, to let people and families manage their own decisions. That will lead us in the direction of a much better healthcare policy. The quality of care we receive will improve, and the price of it will go down.
Aside from quality and price arguments, what about the population that wouldn't have insurance without the Affordable Care Act? For instance, I think in Arkansas, if you include those through the marketplace and through the private option, it's a little over 200,000 people. Is there a remedy for them in your replacement?
I want to live in a world, and I want to fight for a country where everyone who works hard and plays by the rules can find a good job and that they can provide their own health care and provide health care for their families. That's the direction I want to head. It requires having an economy that's let free to grow, unlike what we have now, where President Obama is making it harder on the economy to grow. That's the direction I want to help our country head.
Would you argue then that places like Walmart and Tyson Chicken don't provide good jobs if they don't provide insurance?
Jacob, I'm not sure I'm following your question. I guess the direction I'm coming from is...
Well, you want good jobs in the district that are capable of allowing people to get health insurance. Are you saying that current jobs that don't provide health insurance aren't good jobs necessarily?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I want people, if they work hard and play by the rules, to be able to find a good job. And I want people to be let alone and empowered to make their own healthcare decisions and buy the kind of health insurance that's right for them and for their family.
I've been speaking with Tommy Mall, who faces Bruce Westerman in the 4th Congressional Republican primary. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jacob. It's been great being on the show.
I'm Jacob Kaufman, KUAR News.